of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you.
Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how you can contact us for additional resources or to receive further spiritual help. And now, here's today's message.
If you have your Bibles, open them please to Colossians chapter 3. Well, last Sunday I began looking at just a brief series I wanted to take us through that I entitled Preparing for a Life of Purpose. Christ is our example. The Bible tells us that He lived His life with a very clear, very specific purpose. He knew exactly why He was here. He knew exactly why He was born, and He knew exactly why He was going to die. And right at the end of His life, he said, "Father, I have brought You glory by finishing the work You sent me to do." Now, for me, I deeply want to be able to say that when I come to the end of my life. How about you? As opposed to looking back on my life and seeing that I just kind of meandered my way through from one moment to the next, from one day to the next, no real clear purpose of why God brought me into this world. Man, I don't want that. I want to be able to know now, not just then at the end of my life, but I want to be able to know now each day that I'm living on purpose, for a purpose. I told you one time that many years ago, there was an elderly man who I had breakfast with, who was a very godly man, and he was very direct in things he would say. I think he had reached that age in life where he just didn't feel like wasting time anymore, didn't feel like wasting words, so he would tell you what was on his mind. And he was a great challenger of other people, of younger Christians. I met with him, we were having breakfast talking about life, and he looked across the table at me at one point and asked me this. He said, "Do you have a reason for being alive, or are you just using up oxygen?" And I remember I'd just taken a bite of bacon and eggs, and they got stuck right here. And they didn't know if they wanted to go down or come back up. And I was so mad at him, I wanted to punch him. But I left there that day and couldn't think of anything else other than that question. "Well, Phil, do you have a reason for being alive, or are you just using up oxygen?" And that was one of those questions that changed my life. And from shortly after that, I have been praying specifically, "God, don't let me waste my life." See, because it happens so slowly that we don't really know it's happening. No one wakes up, I don't think, one morning and says, "I'm going to waste my life." But you look back over 20 years, 30 years of time, and you go, "Wow, what am I doing?" So I want to challenge you again this morning, like I did last week, in an encouraging way, to think about preparing for a life of purpose. And I chose that title specifically. I chose those words specifically. I was going to call it just living a life of purpose, but that really didn't hit it for me. I want to talk about preparing for a life of purpose, because we do have to prepare. It takes intentionality. Last week we talked about how so many of us go through life feeling unfit for God. We feel rejected by God, perhaps because of how we've been rejected by others. We feel like everybody else in the Christian life is better than us, more talented, more gifted, more spiritual. And so we often spend our whole life just sort of living in second class and never really feeling like God would even want us on His team. We don't have time to get into all of that. Again, it's online if you want to catch up on that. But we talked specifically last week about how God chooses the weak things of the world, the lowly things of the world, the despised things of the world, the things that are broken, the things that are left out. He chooses those things on purpose so that he can show his greatness through those weak things. So if you feel weak, if you feel left out, if you feel not good enough, you are exactly the person God is looking for. And you're exactly the person God wants to do great things through. But this morning I want to turn the corner a little bit and get real practical on this for this one more Sunday before we have our Thanksgiving communion next week. And I hope you'll be here for that. I hope you'll bring family with you if they're in town. It's always a fantastic service. And I hope, by the way, that last week and today, I hope these will be just two of the most encouraging messages that I could ever give to you. I want to tell you today that not only does God want to use you, but here's a critical point. He wants to use you right where you are. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, underline that, whatever you do, say that with me. Whatever you do, say it one more time. Whatever you do, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. What would happen, I wonder, for all of us if instead of living for the weekend and getting a paycheck, we started to see our work, and when I say work, I'm also speaking to you students. If you're in school right now, that's your work right now. What would happen for all of us if instead of living for the weekend, we started to see our work as a God-ordained area of our life? What if you could redeem every day of your life, and instead of seeing Monday through Friday as the daily grind, you started to see it as a part of God's great purpose for you? I want to share with you this morning some practical steps on how to be used by God right where you are. Point number one. Now, this is so simple, I almost didn't include it. But the further I got into this message, I just kept going back and saying, I can't skip this because it's so simple and it seems so obvious. I think for that very reason, I have to point it out. Number one, you've got to want to be used. You've got to want to be used by God. It's an extraordinary thing to me that the God of the universe, who is all-powerful, the Bible says nothing can stay His plan, nothing can thwart His purposes. That same God has given to us the ability to push Him away. You think about that. Nothing in this universe can stand against God. And yet, you and I can stiff-arm Him. We can say, nope, God, not interested in having you use my life. And God will not use people who feel that way. The Bible says God resists the proud. Can't do anything with them, but He gives grace to the humble. You want to be used by God, you've got to want to be used by God. God uses those people who make themselves available to Him to be used. We've talked about this verse before. We'll talk about it again. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The Bible says this, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those who have a seminary degree." It's not what it says. To show Himself strong on behalf of those who are very prominent in society, who are highly educated, who are very rich, who are very influential. No, it's such a simple thing that God is looking for. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. That's what He's looking for. Those are the qualifications that God is looking for. The Bible refers to us in a number of different analogies. One is a lump of clay. Now, the thing is, if we can just sort of bring that clay to life for a moment, here's the truth. If that lump of clay wants to become a beautiful, expensive vase, it has to be willing to allow the potter to mold it and shape it and put it in the furnace, or it will never become a beautiful, priceless vase. Now, the same is true for you and me. If you and I want to become a beautiful vessel in God's service, we have to be willing to let Him mold us and shape us and put us in the furnace. We talked a few weeks ago about the storms of life that God allows to come our way, and I wrapped that up by telling you that those storms are never random, meaningless events. They come under the watchful eye of our loving Heavenly Father, who allows those storms to blow into our life for a reason, so that He can mold us and test us and mature us. When the children of Israel had come through their 40 years of wandering in the desert, God said to them, "Now you will see why I have brought you through the wilderness these 40 years, to humble you, to prove you or test you, and to see what was in your heart, whether you would serve me or not." And the things that come into your life and mine so often are for very similar reasons. Oh, I mean, we want those storms to go away right now. We want to get out of them. We want to get out of the heat. We want to get back to our normal life where everything can be comfortable. And yet when we're struggling through things in life, God is at work. He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's maturing us so that we can become something beautiful for Him. But God will not do that to you unless you want Him to. You see, always remember this, church. God is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for available people. And that's the only reason I qualify. It's because there was a time in my life when I intentionally said, "Yes, God, I gave my heart to you a long time ago when I was a kid, but I've never really given my life to you." Are you with me? There's a big difference. So you can pray a prayer and invite Jesus into your heart and ask for or receive the forgiveness of sins that He's already made available, and then you can spend the next 50 years living however you want to live. It's sad. We've got to come to a place in our life beyond being saved where we say to God, "I want you to use my life." I think of Isaiah. The Bible tells us this wonderful interaction that took place in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. God said, he's searching for someone to be faithful to Him, and Isaiah said, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?'" That's a remarkable thing to me. The God of heaven. I mean, He could, by His spoken word, He could force every human being living on this planet. What are we up to? 7 billion now, I think. I think we just crossed that last year. He could force all 7 billion people on this planet to be saved just like that if He wanted to. God's not looking for robots. He's looking for people who choose to want to follow Him. He wants to know that we want to surrender our life to Him. And this is one of those questions from God that just brings me to my knees. It's amazing. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Where can I find a faithful person?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Have you ever prayed that prayer? I shared this with you before. I know it's probably kind of corny, but every few years I think I'll remind you of this. A long time ago, it was September 8th, 1997, I drew up a contract with God. And I had come from 19 years in the business world where contracts were a way of life. We even had to have lawyers help us go through contracts from clients because they were so thick and had so many loopholes and so many exclusions. So I was used to working in environments where contracts were the norm, and there was lots of fine print. And if you don't do this, then I'm not going to do that kind of thing. And this just came to me one day, 97, the year Nick was born. I sat down and I drew up a contract with God. And I left the page completely blank, and I signed it, and I dated it at the bottom. And I take this out every once in a while and I look at it, because it's a reminder to me of what I did in September 97. And I know it may seem kind of silly, but sometimes it helps for us to have something we can hold in our hands rather than just an idea that floats around in our head. For me, every time I pull this out of my folder in my office and I look at it, it's a reminder to me that I reached a place in my life where I said, God, I'm giving you a blank page. You can take my life from this point forward and you can do whatever you want with it. See, in my own simple, corny way, what I was doing was making myself available to the potter. I was saying to him, I want to be used by you. So let me ask you this question before we move on to the next point quickly. Have you ever told God that you're available to him? I'm not talking about being saved. I hope you've done that. Beyond that, have you ever told God, God, I am making myself available to you from today on for whatever purpose you have for me? I'm not writing in any loopholes. I'm not putting in any fine print. I'm giving you the rest of my life. I've given you my heart, but I'm giving you my life. And whatever you want to do with it, God, whatever joys or sorrows you choose to bring into my life, it's you and me forever. You've got to want to be used. Number two, you've got to be willing to start somewhere. You've got to be willing to start somewhere. Many years ago, a guy that I knew went to college. He actually went to Furman for 4 years, which is a very expensive college. And when he got out, I saw him after that, but then kind of lost track of him. And a couple years later, I ran into him just out of the blue in a restaurant, and we started talking. And so I said, well, man, what are you doing now? You know, how are things going? Where are you working? And he said, oh, I'm not working anywhere. And I said, wow, really? What happened? You lose your job, or, you know, what's going on? And, well, long story short, it turns out he had never gotten a job in those year and a half or 2 years. And I said, why? And again, long story short, I know this sounds like a cliche, but basically what he said to me is, I'm holding out for a management position. I was stunned. I couldn't believe him. He's a brilliant guy, really smart guy, did well in school, but he just was not willing to start out cleaning the toilets, if you know what I mean. See, he wanted to start up here. And so he just passed up offer after offer and said, no, it's not good enough for me. Well, that's bad enough in the business world, but I'll tell you, it's a tragedy in the Christian life. And I would encourage you this morning not to allow your whole life to slip by waiting for a better opportunity to serve the Lord. Waiting for something that's a little more in the public eye, or a little more respectable in your opinion, or something that's not quite so beneath your dignity. See, God doesn't work that way. The way God works is he says, I'm going to give you an opportunity to serve me in an out-of-the-way place, and then I'm going to come back and see if you've served me faithfully there or not. Years ago, when Sandy and I had just been married, we didn't have kids, she informed me that she had just signed both of us up to teach a little kid's Sunday school class in this huge church we were in. And I was like, you did what now? I was terrified of kids. I didn't have kids. I'd never held a baby in my life. And now it's the opposite. I love kids. I love being around your kids. I just almost feel more comfortable with them than I do with adults sometimes. And so she said, yeah, they need help. And I signed us both up. And I said, I'm not doing it. And she said, yes, you are. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. And she said, yeah, you are. You're going to do it. It reminded me of a funny conversation that I heard one time of a man who'd been married a long time talking to a guy who had just gotten married, giving him some advice. And he said, well, you know, you need to understand in marriage, you know, it takes compromise. He said, for example, my wife wanted a cat. I didn't want a cat. So we compromised and got a cat. And you men know that's how it works a lot of times. And so I compromised and started teaching Sunday school with my wife. And I was scared to death. But you see, God kept me there for a year. And I was faithful in doing that. And then God opened a door for me to help teach a little bit of a bigger class. And I was faithful there. Then out of the blue, God opened up this door for me to teach this little adult Sunday school class that was tucked away in an upstairs room, a class that nobody wanted. And I said, yes, sir, I'll do it. And I was faithful there with a little handful of people. And then God opened up a door for me to teach a huge adult Sunday school class. And some of y'all were part of that. Tommy, you were there. You see, this is how God works. He gives us, he will open a little door for us of service here, and then he'll wait to see if we step through that door before he opens the next one. I've always said this, you can take it to the bank, it's true, open doors. And until you are willing to walk through the small door that God has opened for you, he will never open a bigger door, not in a million years. God didn't use Noah to accomplish the massive task of saving the whole human race until Noah was first willing to pick up a saw and a hammer and make a fool of himself building an ark when there was no water around. God didn't use Abraham to become the father of a great nation until Abraham was first willing to pack his suitcase, leave his home and his family and his land, and start walking to a place that God hadn't even shown him yet. God didn't use Esther to save her people until she was first willing to go and stand before the king, knowing that that king could and probably would put her to death on the spot for entering his presence. And on we could go throughout the Bible. See, God doesn't use people to do big things until they've been faithful in the small things. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Someone might say, why isn't God using me over there? You want to know why? Because you're not being faithful over here. I've seen people in the past who say, hey, God's called us to the mission field, but they're not even willing to mow the grass around the church facilities. They're not even willing to help clean the bathrooms or run the vacuum cleaner. They won't last 6 months on the mission field. Someone once said, if you can't be faithful where you are, you won't be faithful where you ain't. We get all kinds of interesting emails here at the church, as all churches do, but got an email one time from a guy who sent me this long list of accomplishments that he had achieved for God, written a book and taught at all these big places, and he wanted to talk about coming and teaching here at LifePoint. First of all, he'd never been here, not once, and didn't know if he would like the church or anything. He was just looking for a gig. And so I courteously emailed him back and said, man, I'd love to meet with you. I'd love to talk with you. And I can almost guarantee you we've got an immediate opening for you to help serve in the children's ministry. Never heard from him. See, because that was, I guess, beneath him. Folks, listen, let me just ask you this before we move on to the final point. Are you being faithful right now where you are with what God has already asked you to do? Or are you just planning on being faithful one day? Are there any doors of service right now that God has opened for you that you're refusing to walk through? See, we need help in our children's ministry. Every church always needs help in children's ministry, but our elementary age, we need help back there. Now, if you're mean and grumpy and rude, please, we don't want you back there, okay? We want people who are loving and enthusiastic and passionate about the love of Jesus. But we need help. And there's somebody in this auditorium right now warming a chair And you need to get out of that chair and go talk to Catherine Ferguson or somebody and say, listen, I'll be willing to help for a year. We all need to be willing to help. We've got to start somewhere. Finally, number three, not only do you have to want to be used, not only do you have to be willing to start somewhere, but finally, you've got to use what you've already been given. You've got to use what you've already been given. I hear people say, if I had more time, I'd really serve God. No, you wouldn't. If I had more money, I'd really bless God's kingdom. No, you wouldn't. If I just had a talent like her, then God would use me. No? Nope, you got it all wrong. Remember, if you can't be faithful where you are, you won't be faithful where you ain't. The parable of the talents, we see this in Scripture. It's one of the underlying principles throughout the whole Bible and throughout the whole Christian life. The master, who's represented by representing God in this story, called in three of his servants and said, I'm going on a long journey. I want to leave some money with you to invest when I'm gone. And when I come back, I'm going to check on you and see how I did. To the one servant, he gave five. To the other servant, he gave two. To the other servant, he gave one. He went on his journey. He came back and he called them to account. By the way, we're going to be called to account one day for how we've used our life. That's a sermon for another day. I'm trying to keep this one very happy today and encouraging. So he said to the one who he gave, to whom he gave five, what have you done? He said, Master, I invested it and I've made five more. He said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in the few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. By the way, I think that's one of the most overlooked phrases in that whole story. We think that if we surrender our lives to God, we're going to be miserable. God's going to probably send me to Ethiopia somewhere and I'm going to be miserable, or to the Amazon, I'm going to be fighting snakes and I'm going to be miserable. Are you kidding? That's not our Heavenly Father. If you want to know true joy, surrender your whole life to God. Man, there's no life like it. So he called the other one in who had two. He said, what have you done? He said, Master, I invested the two and I made two more. Jesus told him, word for word, gave him the exact praise that he gave the one with five. There's a great lesson there. We spend our lives sometimes saying, well, of course God's using him or her. Look what they have. But you see, we're not being faithful with the two and we're upset because they have five. That also is a sermon for another day. Then he called the one who had one in. He said, what have you done? He said, well, Master, I was afraid, and I just buried my talent in the ground, and here it is. Here's what you gave me. And the master was furious, not because he had one. God says he gives to each of us according to the measure that we can handle, that we need. That guy had one, and he wasted it. The picture is he squandered what God had given him rather than investing it for the kingdom of God. We've got to stop saying, what I have isn't enough for God to do anything with. Do you remember the story, the event where Jesus was teaching the crowds? There were 5,000 men plus women and children, easily 10 to 12,000 people. And it was late in the day. They were hungry and there was nothing to eat. And this little boy brought his five little rolls and two pieces of fish to Jesus. And it was basically, you know, it's nothing but here. And what did Jesus do with that? He took it, he multiplied it, and he fed over 5,000 people. That's what can happen when we take what we have and we give it to him. Because as I've told you before, it all depends on whose hands it's in. The amount is insignificant. You can squander one of something or you can squander 1,000 of something. It all depends on whose hands it's in. Don't see what you have as being too small to be used by God. Zechariah says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. The only reason some people don't see God doing bigger things with what they've already got is because they never brought it to him. And this is across the board. We're talking about our money. We're talking about our time. We're talking about our raw talent, our job, our family, whatever it happens to be. You've got to use what God has already entrusted to you. Philippians 3:16 says, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Boy, there's a verse that'll goad you through life. Phil, are you living up to what I've already given you, to what you've already got? I think of the woman, I think we talked about her last week, but I intentionally didn't finish the whole story. Woman with a bad reputation who came into the dinner where Jesus was eating, and she brought an expensive jar of perfume. The Bible says it was very, very, very costly. And she came and she opened that up and she poured it on Jesus. And she fell at his feet and she wept and she cried so much that her tears were falling on his feet, and she washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. And everybody in the room was like so upset. Oh, if you only knew this woman who was touching you. And what a waste of perfume this is. That could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And you know the phrase I intentionally left out last time? Mark tells us this, what Jesus said to them. He said, "Leave her alone. She has done what she could." See, she didn't know how to worship Jesus. She didn't know. But all she knew was, "I'm going to bring him what I've got. And I'm going to give it to him. That's all I know what to do." And Jesus said, as these other people were scorning her and looking down on her, he said, "Leave her alone. She's done what she could." Listen, what is it in life that you can do? If you're an encourager, and if that's all you think you can do, then for crying out loud, encourage people. If you have the gift of hospitality, if you love opening up your home, and you think, "Oh, that's all I can do, that's nothing, Phil preaches sermons." No, you got it wrong. Open up your home. Invite me over for dinner. And make me some nice dessert. I'll come and I'll eat it. If you've got the gift of mercy, show mercy to people. Don't spend your life thinking, "Well, maybe one day God will give me some great gift that I can use." No. I don't want to see the church, any church, drifting through life, never using what they've already been given. Use it. No matter how small it may seem to you. And see what God will do in people's lives. There was a man years ago when I was a teenager. I was about, I don't know, I'd have to go back and look exactly, 15, 16, 17. After a church service in South Africa, he walked up to me. He was a very prominent man, very well respected. I looked up to him. He was a godly man. He walked up to me after a service, and I swear this whole thing took 15 seconds. He put his arm around me, and he squeezed me in real tight. And he said, "Phil, I see God at work in your life. And I believe he's going to do great things through you." And he walked off. You know what? That changed my life. Those words tattooed themselves onto my soul. And I carry them with me to this day. Well, he didn't know what he was doing, I don't think. But his words still echo in my ears. He encouraged me. He didn't write a best-selling Christian book. He didn't preach the greatest sermon ever preached. He used the gift he had, and it changed my life. Listen, God wants to use you right where you are. He needs students who are going to say, "God, I give my life to you. Whatever mess it might look like right now, I give it to you." He needs stay-at-home moms. He needs mechanics. He needs artists. He needs musicians and lawyers and accountants and teachers. He needs salesmen. He needs waiters. He needs... Listen, God wants to use you right where you are. It's in His brilliance that He designed it this way, that His love and His light and His hope will go wherever we go this week. God is going to go everywhere you go this week. That's the brilliance of it all. The simple brilliance of it all. And His gospel and His love and His light gets multiplied exponentially every time we leave this room. And that's why you need to start seeing, listen, please hear this, you need to start seeing your place in life, whether you're a student, whether you work, whatever you do, you need to start seeing your place in life as just as ordained as the pastor who stands in the pulpit every week. That could change the world. You are every bit as called as the missionary and the pastor is. Y'all looking at me like you don't believe me, but it's true. Those people in your corner of your world who need a touch from the love of God will never get it unless you give it to them. They'll never see His light unless you let it shine through your life, through your words, your actions, your decisions, your goals, your priorities. They'll see it, and they'll want to know what's going on. God can use you in the most ordinary moments of life, wherever you are. Many years ago, when I was in the computer business, there was a client site that we visited quite often, and this was in the dead of winter one year, and I had gone out and bought myself a beautiful new, awesome leather jacket. It was so nice, that soft, supple leather that smells so good, and I'd gone out and I'd eyed this thing, and I went and bought it, and I brought it home, slipped the bag off it, and hung it up, and I looked at it, and as soon as I looked at it, God said, I want you to take that and give it to, and I'll leave him unnamed, a man at our client site I had noticed that winter who came in every day with this ratty, thin little sweater on that wouldn't keep a sheep warm. And he wore it every day. And he came in out of the cold, and you could tell he was frozen. And he drove an old beat-up car, and you could tell he had very little. God said, Phil, I'm so glad you bought that coat. Because I've been wanting to get a coat to him. And I was like, oh, come on, are you serious? He said, yeah, take it and give it to him. So I took it the next day. And I just did it in private. I didn't want to embarrass him. I said, hey, man, God told me to give this to you. And this guy, tears came in his eyes. He said, it's exactly what I wanted. You see, God used me. I wasn't a pastor then, by the way. I've told you, there's nothing special about being up here. God used me, a guy in the computer business, to be a miracle in someone's life. God can do the same for you right where you are. I'm telling you, it's awesome to be a part of what God is doing. You don't have to get a degree to do this. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to do anything different. God wants to use you right where you are. So let me ask this final question. Would you start praying for God to help you see your place in life right now as His ordained assignment for you and see what He will do? Let's pray.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.